Hare Krishna. It's a great honor, pleasure to be here in Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra's temple with all of you. Radha Shyam Prabhu said many things about which I will not comment, but I will follow his request that I speak on the concluding words to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Prabhupada wrote this piece in Juhu, Mumbai, and our general practice was that in the morning at about 6 o'clock we would go up to Srila Prabhupada's quarters at Hare Krishna Land in Juhu and accompany him on his morning walk on Juhu Beach. But this one particular morning, the day of Sri Rama Ekadasi, which comes in the month of Kartik, Srila Prabhupada's door was locked, which was very unusual. And we knocked, but there was no response. And on that floor of the apartment building, there were two flats. One side was Prabhupada and the other side was his servants and secretaries. So we tried knocking on that door, and eventually Srila Prabhupada's secretary came to the door and opened it slightly. And he told us that that night, or early that morning, Srila Prabhupada had completed his translation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and that he had written the most wonderful glorification of his Sri Maharaj. And he was in a very, Prabhupada was in a very joyful mood. And he said that all the devotees should celebrate with a feast. Are we having a feast today? So, we heard about Srila Prabhupada's concluding words just maybe hours or less after he dictated them. But we didn't actually read them until the full Chaitanya Charitamrita was published. So, all of us now have the great facility of being able to read all of Srila Prabhupada's books. But when he began the movement, he didn't have any books except one small book that he had published in India. Does anyone know the name? Yes, Easy Journey to Other Planets. But that also, he didn't have many copies, and it had to be reprinted in America. But one by one, we would translate and publish books, and then we could learn more. When I first came to the Boston Temple, there were two books. Well, three. There was the abridged Bhagavad Gita as it is, published by Macmillan, which had only some of the purports, not the full purport. And there was the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, which was published in Japan by Dhanupan. And yes, there were the first three volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam that Srila Prabhupada had printed in India, which again, there were not many copies, but there were a few. And then, of course, Srila Prabhupada printed them. So we should not take these books for granted. They were not always there. Now new devotees come and all the books are there. But it wasn't always like that. And so every book that came out was regarded by the devotees then as the greatest gift from Srila Prabhupada. So now I will read from the concluding words and speak. Concluding words. Today, Sunday, what day of the week is it today?
What an amazing coincidence.
This means that you're meant to receive this message today. Today, Sunday, November 10th, 1974, corresponding to the 10th of Kartik, Chaitanya Era 488, the 11th day of the dark fortnight, the Rama Ekadasi. We have now finished the English translation of Sri Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami's Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in accordance with the authorized order of His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, my beloved eternal spiritual master, guide and friend. So in this first sentence, Srila Prabhupada sets the theme for the entire concluding words, which is the order of the spiritual master, that his work of translating Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita was done in accordance with the authorized instruction of the spiritual master. And that theme will run throughout the entire concluding words. And that principle is essential for us to incorporate in our lives. And more than incorporate in our lives, that principle should be this central focus of our lives. There are two, yes. Although according to material vision, His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada passed away from this material world on the last day of December 1936, I still consider His Divine Grace to be always present with me by His Vani, His words. So the presence or absence of the spiritual master may be perceived differently. From the material point of view, he may be absent. But from a spiritual point of view, through his words, his instructions, his body, he is present. And it is for us to realize his presence through his body. Physical presence is sometimes appreciable. Oh, sorry. There are two ways of association, by vani and by vapu. Vani means words, and vapu means physical presence. Physical presence is sometimes appreciable and sometimes not. But vani continues to exist eternally. Therefore, we must take advantage of the body, not the physical presence. The Bhagavad Gita, for example, is the vani of Lord Krishna. Although Krishna was personally present 5,000 years ago, and is no longer physically present from a materialistic point of view, the Bhagavad Gita continues. Now, Srila Prabhupada will tell us about when he first met his spiritual master. Because ultimately, there must be some personal association with the spiritual master. And from the personal association comes the personal instructions. And then the personal instructions become the life and soul of the disciple. Of course, there are general instructions in the books, and the books are alive. They can guide us just when we need, in just the way we need. So the books are also alive. They are actually Srila Prabhupada and the whole parampara. But still, once a disciple asked Srila Prabhupada that by serving the book Bhagavad and by serving the person Bhagavad, we get the same result. But still, is one better than the other? The person Bhagavad or the book Bhagavad, is one better than the other? And Srila Prabhupada replied that the person Bhagavad is better because he can catch you by the ear. So we actually need that personal touch to, you know, to encourage us, to rectify us, to reform us, along with the written words. So now Srila Prabhupada explains. In this connection, we may call to memory the time when I was fortunate enough to meet His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, sometimes in the year 1922. Srila Prabhupada had come to Calcutta from Sridhar Mayapur to start the missionary activities of the Gaudiya Mutt. He was sitting in a house at Ultadanga when, through the inducement of an intimate friend, the late Sriman Narendranath Mullick, I had the opportunity to meet His Divine Grace for the first time. I do not remember the actual date of the meeting, but at that time I was one of the managers of Dr. Bose's laboratory in Calcutta. I was a newly married young man, addicted to Gandhi's movement, and dressed in khadi. Fortunately, even at our first meeting, His Divine Grace advised me to preach the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in English in the Western countries. Because at that time I was a complete nationalist, a follower of Mahatma Gandhi, I submitted to His Divine Grace that unless our country were freed from foreign subjugation, no one would hear the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seriously. Of course, we had some argument on this subject, but at last I was defeated and convinced that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message is the only panacea for suffering humanity. What is panacea? Raise your hand. Yes. Yes, the solution to all problems, the cure for all ills. But at last I was defeated and convinced that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message is the only panacea for suffering humanity. I was also convinced that the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was then in the hands of a very expert devotee, and that surely the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would spread all over the world. Srila Prabhupada has described that even in his youth, he was the leader among his friends. And one, Surendranath Malik, met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and was impressed with him. He wanted Srila Prabhupada, who was then known as Abhay Charan, to meet him and give his opinion. Srila Prabhupada also describes that opposite his home in Calcutta there was a building in which many men lived. And basically they would go out during the day and make money and then come back at night, and together they would cook a couple of them would cook, and then the whole group would eat in the evening. And then they would go to sleep. And then in the morning, same thing, get up and go out and collect money. So Srila Prabhupada noticed that among them, some of them, in the morning, they would put on the dress of a sadhu. And that was the way they collected their money during the day. But they were just like everyone else. And in the evening they'd come back and relax and go to sleep and then repeat the same thing the next day. So Srila Prabhupada said that he didn't have a very high estimation of science. His father was pious, Lord Mohandev, and he would also entertain sadhus at home. But Srila Prabhupada was not very satisfied by their duties. So when his friend suggested to meet Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he thought, there are so many sadhus, he may be another one like them, and he didn't want to go. But his friend insisted, and eventually Abhay agreed. And as he describes it, the devotees, of course, were seated down, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was sitting up. There were other arrangements to sit up, and not knowing the etiquette of Abhay sat up. Later he realized that he was supposed to sit down. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very bold. And straight away he addressed them. And as I am about to utter these words, I request you to think whether they can also apply to you. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "You are all educated young men. I request you to preach the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." And in the case of Abhay and his friends, in the English language, in the Western world. Of course, sometimes educated young men get work in the Western world and go. But then they also preach. So that's also good. So Srila Prabhupada felt that who will listen to India? India is still under foreign domination. Who will listen to India? First we should get political emancipation, and then people will take us seriously, take our message seriously. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur countered Abhay's argument, and he explained that the method of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is eternal, that such conditions as political dependence or independence are temporary. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message is eternal, and it is necessary for the welfare of the world, and it cannot wait. And Srila Prabhupada said that he was defeated. He said it was the first time in his life that he had ever been defeated in an argument. And he said, I was glad that I was defeated by argument. So now, what did Srila Prabhupada do after receiving that instruction? This is a very important question. So, just repeat. I was convinced that the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was then in the hands of a very expert devotee, and that surely the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would spread all over the world. I could not, however, immediately take up his instructions to preach. But I took his words very seriously and was always thinking of how to execute transported, although I was quite unfit to do so. So Srila Prabhupada received the instruction and he accepted the instruction. But because of circumstances, he was newly married and at least one small child. And so he felt that he could not take up the instruction immediately. But he always kept the instruction within his heart. And he was always thinking when he would be able to execute. Although he considered himself unqualified. And this is also another important instruction for us, that we may feel unqualified for a particular service, but if we surrender to the order of the spiritual master with all sincerity, he can inspire us and guide us and empower us to fulfill the instruction. It said that when the spiritual master gives the instruction, he also gives the potency to execute the order. Now, in a later talk that Srila Prabhupada gave in Los Angeles, he related the story of how he met his Guru Maharaj, and how his Guru Maharaj asked him to take up the mission. And Srila Prabhupada explained why he felt he couldn't take it up immediately. And in this talk he said, actually, I should have taken it up immediately. But better late than never. In this way, I passed my life as a householder until 1950, when I retired from family life as a Vanaprastha. With no companion, I loitered here and there until 1958, when I took sannyas. Previously, then I was completely ready to discharge the order of my spiritual master. Now this is another significant event, very significant event, Srila Prabhupada's sannyas. And of course, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had left Mansoor as we read. But he was coming to Srila Prabhupada in dreams and calling him to come with him to teach. And Srila Prabhupada would wake up feeling horrified, as he said, that the Guru Maharaj wants me to give up my family life and take sannyas and follow him. And he thought that he couldn't do that. But then, one of his godbrothers, Srila Bhakti Pragyan Keshava Goswami Maharaj, told him that without taking sannyas, you cannot preach as your Guru Maharaj wants. And then you should take sannyas. And later, when Srila Prabhupada was in America and got the news that this godbrother had passed away, he spoke very affectionately of his godbrother. And he said that, I was unwilling to take sannyas, but this godbrother forced me. And then he said, not exactly my godmother forced me, but my Guru Maharaj forced me through him. So this is another important instruction for us, that the order of the spiritual master, the guidance of the spiritual master, can come to us through another person. In fact, there is a very nice statement by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that in the absence of my Guru Maharaj, how will I get guidance? And then he says that my Guru Maharaj speaks, you know, he speaks through many voices. And those who are close to my Guru Maharaj, my Guru Maharaj can speak to me through them. That's the idea. And so Srila Prabhupada took it that way, that his Guru Maharaj was forcing him to his godbrother to teach sannyas. Even others who are not perhaps on that level, they can also give us good advice. And we should be open to hearing the voice of Krishna or the voice of our spiritual master through anyone. Of course, we may have to evaluate it, but we should be open to it. So, in this way, I passed life as a householder until 1950, when I retired from family life as a vanaprastha. With no companion, I loitered here and there until 1958, when I took sannyas. Then I was completely ready to discharge the order of my spiritual master. Previously, in 1936, just before His Divine Grace passed away at Jagannath Puri, I wrote him a letter asking what I could do to serve him. In reply, he wrote me a letter dated 13th December 1936, ordering me in the same way to preach in English the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as I have heard it from him. So the earlier instruction was confirmed. After he passed away, I started the fortnightly magazine. What's the name of the magazine? You know everything. After he passed away, I started the fortnightly magazine Back to God at some time in 1944 and tried to spread the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through this magazine. After I took sannyas, a well-wishing friend suggested that I write books instead of magazines. Magazines, he said, might be thrown away, but books remain perpetually. So this is an example of friend suggested, and he took it seriously. The same thing happened with Srila Prabhupada. One of Srila Prabhupada's, say, friends in Bombay was Mr. Bridgerton Malta, who was a businessman, but very intelligent, but not really a devotee. Although eventually, by Srila Prabhupada's association, he did become more of a devotee. But he suggested to Srila Prabhupada that why don't you insert an installment of the Bhagavad Gita in each issue of Bhaktivedanta magazine. Of course, Srila Prabhupada adapted this suggestion and made it an excerpt from Srimad Bhagavatam. And that tradition is continuing even now. But that original idea came from Mr. Bridger John Malta, who was an industrialist. Then I attempted to write Srimad Bhagavatam. Before that, when I was a householder, I had written on Srimad Bhagavad Gita and had completed about 1,100 pages. But somehow or other, the manuscript was stolen. So this is also an important lesson to be determined. There may be many reversals, but we have to be fixed in our determination to serve the order of the spiritual master. We may think, oh, you know, Krishna doesn't want me to do it, so. But no, it could be Maya doesn't want me to do it. Krishna does want me to do it. Guru wants me to do it. In any case, when I published Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto in 3 volumes in India, I thought of going to the USA. And that also was a little bit of a bold decision by Srila Prabhupada. As he said, most Swamis from India, if they go abroad, they think of going to London. Srila Prabhupada thought, you know, New York City and America are more important than London and England. And it was, of course, much further. But he took the risk and came to New York. By the mercy of His divine grace, I was able to come to New York on September 17, 1965. Since then, I have translated many books, including Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, a summary, and many others. In the meantime, I was induced to translate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and publish it in an elaborate version. In his leisure time in later life, His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would simply read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was his favorite book. He used to say that there would be a time when foreigners would learn the Bengali language to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The work on this translation began about 18 months ago. Now, by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it is finished. In this connection, I wish to thank my American disciples, especially Sriman Pradumya Das Adhikari, Sriman Nithai Das Adhikari, Sriman Jayadvaita Das Brahmachari, and many other boys and girls who are sincerely helping me in writing, editing, and publishing all these literatures. So Srila Prabhupada began by expressing his appreciation to his Guru Maharaj that it was by his mercy that he was able to complete the work. And then he also expressed his appreciation and gratitude to his disciples who helped him. And actually the two are not separate, because sometimes Srila Prabhupada said that all of his disciples were sent to him by his Guru Maharaj to help him in executing his Guru Maharaj's order. I think that his divine grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is always seeing my activities and guiding me within my heart by his words. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adhikavale. Spiritual inspiration comes from within the heart, wherein the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his Paramatma feature, is always sitting with all his devotees and associates. Now, this is very significant. My first temple president, when I joined in Boston, was His Holiness Satsurupa Das Goswami Maharaj. And I always admired him for so many reasons. And we had a common interest, I mean, every disciple of Srila Prabhupada does, but we had a special affinity for remembering Srila Prabhupada and discussing Srila Prabhupada and writing about Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada told a story about a drama, a book, called Shah Jahan. I hope that I see some of you recognize this reference, which means that you are listening to Srila Prabhupada's lectures, or at least reading the transcripts, which is very good. And it's something that I recommend all of you should do. So, Srila Prabhupada was making the point that the author of a work knows the purpose of his work. And who is the author of the Vedanta Sutras? Vyasadeva. And who is the author or compiler of Srimad Bhagavatam? Yes. And they both begin, both the Vedanta Sutras of Srimad Bhagavatam begin with the same aphorism, Janma Dhyasya Kala. And so Srimad Bhagavatam is considered the natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutras written by the same author. And because he is the author, he knows what his purpose was. So, in this book, Shah Jahan, all the exploits of Shah Jahan's son, Aurangzeb, are described. So there was a party in Calcutta, and someone approached the author and said that your whole work is filled with the description of the exploits of Aurangzeb, how he Aurangzeb, as you know, was a great tyrant, And he was a demon. He wanted to control his joy, and he didn't want anything to come in his way. So he arrested his own father, Shajanaka, and imprisoned him in the outer fort. Shajan had, anyway, they went going to too many details. And Aurangzeb, he had killed his own brothers, who could be contenders to the throne. And in general, he was creating havoc everywhere. And the whole work was filled with these stories of Aurangzeb's exploits. So the person asked the author, "But why have you kept the name Shah Jahan? The hero of the book is Aurangzeb." And the author replied that actually the real hero is Shah Jahan, because when he was sitting in the Agra fort in captivity, he was getting the news, you know, Aurangzeb has done this, Aurangzeb has done that, and it was beating on his heart. So he is the actual hero. So one day in the Johannesburg temple, very soon after Srila Prabhupada, that means maybe a few years after Srila Prabhupada, I went into the temple room and I saw Srila Prabhupada's deity on the Vyasa Sangha cyclist size deity. And I just felt that he knew everything that was going on in his life. He knew all the successes and triumphs, he knew all the failures and difficulties. And it was all coming to him, and it was like beating in his heart. So I wrote this to Satsuruga Maharaj. And I was surprised and shaken when I received Maharaj's reply. And, and I think along with that I had mentioned that Srila Prabhupada is in our hearts. And that's how he knows. He knows everything that's going on with every devotee. And Satsuruga Maharaj wrote back that, you know, that we understand that Krishna as the super soul is in the heart. And that the spiritual master, after he leaves, will either take birth somewhere in the material world to continue to preach, or join Krishna in his pastimes in the spiritual world. So how can you say that Srila Prabhupada is in your heart? Is this just some sentiment? And you know, because of my admiration for Satsuruga Maharaj, I was very shaken. And, my tendency is to try to, please people and not differ with them. But something within me would not allow me to just agree with them. But at the same time, I knew that I can't just write back something based on sentiment only. I know Prabhupada's in my heart, I can feel it. I couldn't write back. I had to actually see if there was some scriptural support for all of my contentions. And I found different ones. there was one, but anyway, I'll just come to this one. Because this one was extremely relevant. Now, what was the last sentence I read? This requires two things. One, that you would have to listen and absorb what I read. And then you'd have to remember, after all of that I said in between, what I read then. But it's very much to the point. Okay. Now this time, I'll pause at different points, and then afterwards, I'll ask you what you just heard, so you can be prepared. Radha Shankabu says that it's a very big part of students' lives to take exams, so you're going to have a little exam. There is so much here. So first, I think that His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is always seeing my activities and guiding me within my heart by His words. As it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adhikavaye. So, generally we would say that the spiritual master is guiding us from within the heart by his instructions. That's what Srimad Prabhupada is saying. And the instruction was, say, to write books, you know, and Radha Clinton, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta told Srila Prabhupada, if you ever get India, print books. And also to preach the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the English language throughout the world. So that is one way in which we receive guidance from the spiritual master in the heart, by keeping his words, his instructions within our hearts. And now, Srila Prabhupada goes a step further. Spiritual inspiration comes from within the heart, wherein the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in His Paramatma feature, is always sitting with all His devotees and associates. Did you hear that? So, the Paramatma is not alone within the heart, but he's sitting with all of his associates, which includes the spiritual master. So the spiritual master is in the heart, because Krishna's in the heart, and the spiritual master is with Krishna. So it wasn't just a sentiment, it was confirmed by Srila Prabhupada's statement. And so I wrote that to Rupa Maharaj, and he very much appreciated my reply. And the next year, on Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day of Vrindavan, Maharaj mentioned it in his talk, that Srila Prabhupada is present, and He is in our hearts, with Krishna. So now we come to another important point. It is to be admitted that whatever translation work I have done is through the inspiration of my spiritual master. Because personally, I am most insignificant and incompetent to do this materially impossible
work.
So remember earlier Srila Prabhupada said that he received the instruction, but he was not able to take it up immediately. But he always kept the instruction within his heart. Although he felt quite unfit to execute it. And this can happen to any of us, that we receive an instruction and we feel unfit to execute it. But here Srila Prabhupada gives us the solution, and that is to surrender to the spiritual master within the heart. Now there are some conditions to being able to hear the spiritual master within the heart. And that, requires some maturity and purity. And in the fourth canto, there's a description of, a metaphoric description of the disappearance of the spiritual master, which describes how one can receive instructions from the spiritual master even after he's left. And the two requirements are that one should be completely detached from the material world, and the other is one should be ready to lay down one's life for the service of the spiritual master. So if one is ready to sacrifice his life fully for the service of the spiritual master, then the spiritual master can speak to him. And in the Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says, patience of the Kriyatanam. What is that? Patience of the Kriyatanam is your name. Yeah, you're jumping ahead. This Tesham Satyatri Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam. So that is the, you could say, precondition. That's the precondition. So what is that?
Always
Satyatam. Always engaged in Krishna's service and Priti Purvakam. Good luck. So these are like one end of this. We could actually speak for days, and there's no end, just what's here. But so anyway, Krishna can speak to you from within the heart if you are constantly engaged in his service with love and devotion. In other words, not that serving Krishna is part-time. You can be a grihastha and execute your duties as a grihastha. You can be a student and, fulfill your responsibilities as a student. But your mood should be to do everything for Krishna. And if you're ready to take any instruction, even if you can't execute it immediately, even if you don't feel qualified, that Krishna will give you the intelligence or the spiritual master in the heart, will give you the guidance how to do it. So then he said, Srila Prabhupada writes, "It is to be admitted that whatever translation work I have done is through the inspiration of my spiritual master. Because personally I am most insignificant and incompetent to do this materially impossible work. I do not think myself a very learned scholar, but I have full faith in the service of my spiritual master." This is the basic requirement. Full faith in the order of the spiritual master. His divine grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. If there is any credit to my activities of translating, it is all due to His divine grace. He's giving all the credit to His spiritual master. I heard a saying, I don't know if it was born by this, he said it was Univandu Prabhu, who gives tours in Braj. Quoted a saying, you may have already heard it. One should give all credit to the spiritual master. One should give all Lakshmi to Narayana. And one should pass on all women to Krishna. You know, this is giving all credit to the spiritual master. Certainly, if His divine grace were physically present at this time, it would have been a great occasion for jubilation. But even though He's not physically present, I'm confident that He's very much pleased by this worship translation. So if He were here, you know, it would have been a great occasion of jubilation. But even though He's not here, Srila Prabhupada says, I know He's still pleased, even though He's not here in person. He was very fond of seeing many books published to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. Therefore, our society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, has been formed to execute the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And what is that order? What is that mission? One important part of it is to print and publish and distribute books. Now, Srila Prabhupada is speaking to you, to all of you, and each and every one of you. It is my wish that devotees of Lord Chaitanya all over the world enjoy this translation. This is a direct desire of Srila Prabhupada for you to enjoy this translation, which means first you have to read it. And what while reading it, you should relish it. But begin by reading. And by reading, you will come to relish it. And I am glad to express my gratitude to the learned men in the Western countries who are so pleased with my work that they are ordering in advance all my books that would be published in the future, in the library part. On this occasion, therefore, I request my disciples, and this includes all of any follower of Srila Prabhupada, because he's our foundation of Shiksha Guru in this time, so he's our Shiksha Guru, that means we're his Shiksha disciples. On this occasion, I therefore request my disciples, who are determined to help me in this work, to continue their cooperation fully, so that philosophers, scholars, religionists, and people in general all over the world will benefit by reading our transcendental literatures such as Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's that one, you know, among devotees, I would say, famous scene of Srila Prabhupada sitting on the Vyasa sign in Los Angeles and addressing his disciples about the books. Translate and distribute these books in as many languages as possible. And his Guru Maharaj oversees. So we have so much to do. We have so much to do. We can't waste a moment. We have to read the books. We have to relish the books. Somebody has to publish them and maybe they have to distribute them. And to get the potency to do this and everything else that's part of the same effort, part of the same mission, we have to give ourselves fully to the order of the spiritual master, which comes from Parampara. Without any reservations, and receive the mercy of the spiritual master in the parting prayers to execute their orders. So, I'm sure you're all fit candidates to take up this call. And, if you feel you're unfit, it's not a problem, because you can become fit by the mercy of the spiritual master and the Parampara. And Krishna helps, just the history of the Puna Yatra, so many wonderful things have happened that we could not have imagined. Just yesterday I was reminded about Mr. Banerjee and his house that he wanted to give to his son and his Balaji deity. And so, because of zoning, we couldn't really use the property that we offered. Well, we sold the property. And by selling the property, we got about 1.5 crores, which was just the amount we needed to buy this property where we're sitting right now. And in those days, there was no way we could get 1.5 crores for this property. And then he wanted us to take care of his deity, and now we have this nice Balaji temple, which is, a nice complement to our Radha-Vrindavan temple. And many, even getting the property in camp, Radha Kunja Bihari's temple is done. Krishna did so many things, so we just have to make our effort and have a sincere desire, and Krishna helps. In one letter, Srila Prabhupada wrote that because a disciple wrote him that she felt like separation from him. And Srila Prabhupada wrote back that I understand that you feel separation from me, but I never feel separated from my spiritual master because I have dedicated myself to following his instructions. So if you work sincerely to serve me, you will be associated with me. And all our spiritual blessings will follow. We see that. So many places in the world, all over the world, there are so many spiritual blessings coming to the devotees who are sincerely trying to serve Srila Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya. So it's happening here, and it's happening increasingly here. So many plans, guest house, restaurant. We don't even know what might be coming in the future. So these are all the blessings of Sri Prabhupada and Parampara and Sri Chaitanya. We just have to invite those blessings to our sincere service and surrender to their mission. And by offenses and chanting the holy names.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for a wonderful class. It was very touching and moving. Maharaj, you mentioned that one can hear the voice of the spiritual master in the heart if they are completely detached from material world and if they are ready to lay down their lives for the spiritual master. In our case, we see that we have some inclination to serve, but not to that degree the way you mentioned. So how we can feel in ISKCON scenario, how we can feel the presence of our spiritual master in our heart, in a practical sense?
Well, Srila Prabhupada said that we should always, well, he said himself that he felt that his spiritual master is always seeing his activities. So that we can do. Srila Prabhupada said we should always feel that our spiritual master is with us, like looking over our shoulder. So that you can do. And as far as being detached, that is a gradual process for most people. And so, yayatam mahapapatente, constantine of the Dhamma, as we surrender to Krishna, he reciprocates accordingly. So if we're 1% surrendered, if we give ourselves 1% to Krishna, he'll give himself 1% to us. If we give 10%, he'll give 10%. If we give 100%, we'll give 100%. So it's not that you have to give yourself 100% and be 100% detached, but to the extent that you give yourself and are detached, to that extent, Krishna will reciprocate and give you guidance from your own heart. And when I say Krishna, it includes you. So, but yeah, I mean, and sometimes we may have a particular question and we want an answer. And we may pray for the answer. And you know, even as a relatively new devotee, I would do that. I would pray to the deities, and quite often I would get the answer. And sometimes I wouldn't. And I would think, well, why not? Is it that I have some resistance within me? You know, it's like if Krishna knows that I will do what he tells me, then he'll tell me. But if he thinks that if he tells me I may not actually do it, and he may not waste his time, and then with useless words. So that would happen, and I would think, well, what if Krishna gave me this answer? You know, would I be prepared to do it? Or would I have too many material attachments that I would want to hold on to that would interfere with my execution of this prayer? But within myself, if I could summon enough sincerity where I could really say, you know, whatever you want, I will do, then I found it that, you know, the answer could come to you if it hadn't come earlier. But I would say just, you know, continue. You have the sincere desire, you have the seed of the sincere desire, and to just keep watering it, you know, by chanting and being protected by associating with devotees and serving devotees. And then we have others who can guide us. But if you have an instruction and you follow it, even if the instruction came through, you know, spoken instruction or written instruction, if you have an instruction and try to follow it, you will be associated with the spiritual man.
Thank you for your nice comments. Actually, when I heard Prabhupada's example, then I read that practically saw that Prabhupada was very practical in terms of having some results to be achieved in terms of mission. So, and Prabhupada also mentioned in this book also that in this way I could complete some substantial service for the spiritual master. And Prabhupada never liked the, sometimes devotees are very sentimental, saying just Jai Prabhupada, you are not doing something good, so those kind of questions are heard. So, how to be a real contributor to preaching Prabhupada? Because sometimes sentimentally a disciple may be very attached to the spiritual master by just saying Jai Jai in terms of remembrance. But practically, some contribution, so it is a result-oriented approach. So, how do you see the Prabhupada? Exactly what result he wanted? The remembrance of spiritual master or some contribution in substantial way?
Well, Srila Prabhupada wanted us to do both. To taste Krishna consciousness and to distribute Krishna consciousness. And the members of the Panchachatra, they broke open the storehouse of love of God and they ate the contents. And they also distributed the contents. So that's really what Prabhupada wanted. And depending on the situation, he would emphasize one or the other, you know, depending on what we needed. But yes, he did want something practical. Just the other day I was quoting one time when Srila Prabhupada said, they sit with tears in their eyes and they say, oh Prabhupada, I love you, I love you. And Prabhupada said, better they bring me my slippers. In other words, do something practical to show your love. And, you know, as many of you have heard, you said that your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate to spread Krishna consciousness. But to get the strength to spread Krishna consciousness, we should also follow the regulated principles. And that was repeated by Srila Prabhupada again and again and again, that to have the spiritual strength to preach, you have to rise early, you know, attend the morning program, follow the regulated principles, chant the rounds, read the books. So that also counts. But even the desire, like once a disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, you know, how can I please you? And Srila Prabhupada said, just your desire to please me pleases me. And that is it's a very deep statement, is having that sincere desire. And there's a verse, Viha Yasya Hare Yasya Karma Nama Sadhira. The general translation is that by engaging one's Viha Yasya Hare Yasya Karma Nama, one's activities, manasa, mind, jira, words. Viha Yasya Hare Yasya. If you have the desire to engage in the service with body, mind, and words, jiva mukta sukhichate, liberated even within the body. So it's the desire, even if you're not able to do it fully. Of course, Krishna will help you fulfill your desire. But you're liberated just by your desire. But of course, you know, if you do have the desire, it will be manifested in the activities of your body, mind, and words. Sometimes, like at the time of death, we may not have the physical capacity to do so many things. But just that desire can take us to Krishna.
Prabhu?
Maharaj, I have a question. You know, good people.
Bhagavad Gita 6.4, it is mentioned that the liberated soul, who has realized it, does not have any material desires. But if mechanically we should try to escape from these desires, how do we achieve that? We should mechanically escape from those desires, which takes us away from Krishna.
Can you repeat it? I think I missed something.
Bhagavad Gita 6.4, it is written that only a relaxed soul can understand what is happening. If one is not able to understand, he should mechanically try to escape the desires, selfish desires, and he should try to mechanically escape them. So how do we mechanically try to escape from those desires?
Well, I would say, you know, our fundamental practice is chanting the holy names. And there are 10 offenses. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the one offense is sort of the root of all the other ones. You know what the one offense is? It's the root of all the other ones. Inattention. Pramada. So, if we try to chant with attention, that will destroy the other offenses, one of which is to maintain material attachments and not understand so many instructions. So that chanting with attention in the beginning can be done mechanically. Mechanically means you're chanting and you're careful to pronounce each word, that mantra, each syllable. And when your mind wanders, you notice that your mind is wandering, and then you bring it back to the sound. So that's like a mechanical process. But by that process, all these different nightmares come for us to become eradicated. And it, but beyond mechanical, it's better if we add a mood of prayer to Krishna. The Hare Krishna Mahamantra means calling the names of Krishna, Radha. So it's better if we're conscious that we're calling their names. We're asking for their help to chant with attention, and in whatever way we want to be able to serve them, and serve them better. That adds to it. But it can be done mechanically, but it's better if we add some mood of prayer, of calling their names, begging for their service, along with the mechanical process.
Krishna Maharaj, what is simple religion? Maharaj, in the current response scenario, when the Diksha Gurus are also traveling a lot and preaching thousands and thousands of disciples are getting connected. So sometimes they will not even receive particular personal instruction. And sometimes even if they receive their ongoing journey of Krishna consciousness, they may not have a direct guidance or even observation of their spiritual master in their lives. So how much do we how much can we depend on just hearing the Vani in the lectures, audio lectures, and how much do we need a living person who is observing us as we are going on in our lives? And at what stage can a devotee say that I am directly connecting within my heart with the voice of the spiritual master? Because then sometimes we try to take decisions based on that without hearing a particular direct authority who might be available to us.
Well, I'll start with the last part of your question first. That how do we know if we're actually getting dictation from the spiritual master within the heart? We might think that we're getting dictation from the spiritual master within the heart, but we may be deceived. So in the Bhagavad Gita purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that everything is prompted by the super soul within the heart and confirmed by the spiritual master without. So if we're taking it that, you know, the super soul and the spiritual master within the heart, you still have to confirm it with other spiritual masters who are outside. Because if it really is Guru and Krishna, it will be confirmed by sadhus. And we have these three authorities, sadhu, shastra, and guru. So, yes, if it's really Krishna's will, if it's really the spiritual master's will, it will be confirmed. It's somehow it will be confirmed. Even liberated souls like Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj, who was seeking blessings to write Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The approach to Vaishnava, the approach to deities, it was there, but it was confirmed. So that's a very important factor. Very important. And so what was the earlier part of the question?
The Diksha Gurus sometimes cannot be practically observing the life of the devotees. So how is it? A Shiksha Guru available? Is a required factor in the devotee's life's growth? Because Vani is available for ordinations. How to apply it in one's own life? It also depends how much depth we have actually gained in receiving that. Sometimes it may be his own filters of what he wants to do, he gets from the Vani. So, the Shiksha Guru observes what are his conditions, that kind of role, is it required? And
you see, you're speaking of the role of Shiksha Gurus. We need Shiksha Gurus. But as we heard in relation to Srila Prabhupada, you know, a Shiksha Guru can be an elevated godbrother, like in the case of Srila Prabhupada and his Srila Bhakti Fudyan Kesha Maharaj. But it could also be a well-wishing friend, like Mr. Mota suggested, include an installment in the magazine. And it can even be a so-called ordinary person. Many devotees who have done book distribution have told me that they feel that Krishna guides them on book distribution through the people they approach. You know, they might approach someone who will say, you know, well, I'll give a little case of my own. Fairly recently, I was in Phoenix, Arizona, and so I had some programs where I signed books, and so, you know, I wanted to deposit funds in the bank. So my host accompanied me to the bank, and the bank teller saw that it was a business account. And she said, you know, how's your business doing? So my host sort of got annoyed, like, you know, this is not a businessman, you know. But I took it, you know, maybe Krishna's trying to tell me, you know, I shouldn't be a businessman. So we should be open to receiving instructions from the spiritual master through many sources. And that depends on our own eagerness and our own openness. But if that's there, you will get. Just recently, I was with His Holiness Radhanand Swami at Chokhati. And there was a group of students from, actually from Southern California, with him. And they had read The Journey Home. And they were saying how they appreciated the lessons that he had extracted from different circumstances, from different events that took place. And in response, he quoted the Bible, you know, like, seek and you shall find. And he was saying that if you're seeking like spiritual direction or wisdom, you will find it. You can find it even in apparently ordinary occurrences. to the material world. So I think he was saying that maybe the same point that I was trying to make, that it's our openness, our eagerness to receive guidance that will enable us to get instructions even from ordinary people or ordinary circumstances. Anyway, you know, like in the 11th canto, 26 how many? 24 Shiksha Gurus. He was like learning from animals, from prostitutes, you know, he was like learning from, because he had that eagerness. He wanted to be instructed. He wanted to learn so that he could improve.
Maharaj, we are hearing Bhagavatam, particularly when I asked the question, 38 years. We call it, and every, most of the people haven't got the habit of making notes of the important points. So as people say that 97% whatever we hear, few days we call it, for everything practically. So one point I wanted to make, before I my question, I want to convey to that my brothers of everybody that on 31st of this month, Maharaj gave one class in USA, News Night News, and Maharaj spoke on the subject, you will never die. I wish you should come out and read that, news, hear that lecture. So wonderful, Bhagavatam 2:3:30. So, that's just like in yesterday, Janma Mataji's place, Maharaj spoke on the subject of, you know, what are that, why Krishna gives us pain. Such a topic. These are the topics which will help us throughout our life. But these problems are going to come in our life. And we should make notes of them. But we will never die. This is such an important topic. So, this I thought that I should convey this message. But I have questioned something which is very old question which I asked Maharaj. Maharaj, please tell me, how you came to Krishna consciousness? You know, you can read in, what this news, what is that, YouTube, how you came to Krishna consciousness. But something you can't get it in YouTube. And Maharaj told us that story, something, I'm not going to repeat that story, how sisters were having 2,000 places and you know, they were getting come for break, dinner, and you know, and Maharaj said, I got a realization, by that realization, he gave a story of Bali Maharaj, if a person is not satisfied, whatever he has got, he will never be satisfied, he will have three words. That, so he gave that answer and that gave the realization, he came to took seriously spiritual life. Now at this time Maharaj in the book, everywhere that we people at any stage of life, people are working hard and then people don't know even what they are working. Well, ask any question to anybody, many people, majority of the people get married. Yes, through Bhagavad movement we have seen how the people came in the movement and majority of 90% or 99, whatever it may be. But what I'm saying, so finally, what they are supposed to do, what should be their line of action so that they can balance their life in such a way that they can live in this world, take care of the family, but finally how to achieve whether whatever state they are. Otherwise, as I was asking that this people have enough money, anything, but they are still working like a donkey. Because they don't know why they are not working. So what should we, at least people who are not doing, just like people who are not doing, who worship, who are worshiping, giving gods and all that, and Srila Prabhupada said, worship Krishna. People want guidance that how much they should work and how, what should be their ultimate major aim of life. You already give an answer at the 31st night. That is the answer for all the questions, if they will hear that lecture of yours. But still, there is so much confusion that people don't know what to do, where to do, how to do it, and just listen to lecture, a wonderful lecture, but when it comes to application of life, it is really nothing to you. Some guidance for the future.
Spiritual advancement is a gradual process. And the part of that process is that the sense of possessiveness gets transferred to Krishna. In other words, we begin with this is mine, and we end with I am Krishna's. And so it may be that a particular incident can awaken renunciation in a person. When we went to Ramakeli with His Holiness Raghunath Swami and His Holiness Ajahn Swami and Yatra, we heard the story of how Rupa Goswami gave up his government service to Nawab Hussain Shah. There was a specific incident, and that is that one night there's terrible rainstorm, thunder and lightning, and the area was getting flooded. And he was walking, not walking, he was running to the Nawab, because the Nawab had called for him. And at a certain point, he was sort of, he passed a little cottage. And in the cottage, the husband and wife were discussing that who could that be? Who could be running through this horrible rainstorm at such a late hour? Who would be doing that? And the other one said, oh, it must be Rupa Goswami. He had his, you know, he and Sanatana Goswami were Dagar Khas and Santa Mother. Only he could do it. It must be that the Nawab is calling him. Otherwise, no one else would do such a thing. So he took that as a message that he shouldn't be like the servant of the Noah, and you know, like, and that hearing those words, it awakened a sense of renunciation within his heart, and then he resolved, I'm going to beat this. And he did. He did it, you know. So there may be incidents that help us. Sometimes it may happen with a death of someone we love. It awakens a sense of renunciation. What am I doing all this for? Where is it all going to me? But that has to be supported with spiritual practices and good association. Otherwise, there's snasat vairagya, the renunciation that develops at a crematorium. That, you know, you're at the crematorium, you see the body burning, and you think, where does it all end up? It all ends up in smoke and ashes. What is the use? Why am I working so hard like a donkey? But it doesn't last. I experienced it. You know, one of the wealthiest Hindu families in the world, at least then, maybe the wealthiest, the Hindujas, and the eldest son's son died. And they brought the body to Bombay and they had the cremation ceremony just in Santa Cruz. And there was another really big Sindhi industrialist there. And he came to me in that mood, like, I'm working so hard, where is it all going to end? I'm also going to be, my body's also going to be consumed in flames of the funeral pyre. What is the use of it? I should be like you people. But it didn't last very long. It's like, soon enough he was back in the office. So, I guess what I'm saying is there's both the gradual process, the chanting offenselessly and serving our process here in Srimad Bhagavatam. I mean, and Srila Prabhupada said, and this might be encouraging to some of you, that when you become a pure devotee, you will remember everything I ever said, even if you were sleeping in the class. Because it's going in. Spiritually, it's going in, but we're covered. If we hear it and we forget. But it is going in and it is there. And by purification, we will remember that gradual process, the transfer of mamata from, you know, this is my wife, my family, you know, my children, my money, my house, my car, to I am Krishna's. I don't know what potency you have, like Radha Shankar who said that when you ask a question, it's almost always followed by thunderous applause. But yeah, that's good. How to make the theoretical practical. And ultimately, you know, we depend on mercy. You know, from one point of view, we cannot go forward one centimeter, one millimeter without mercy. So along with our efforts, we should constantly be praying for mercy, begging for mercy, and acting in such a way that we can get mercy. And we know that Krishna is pleased when we preach. So that's a way to get Krishna's mercy. Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Shiva Prabhupada Parampara. So yeah, it's serving devotees. Serving more advanced devotees that will please them and please Krishna. So that it's a general gradual process of advancement, but that process is based on the combination of our own endeavors, sincere endeavors and hard work, and Krishna's mercy. You know, praying for mercy, and trying to act in such a way that Krishna will be inclined to give us his mercy. Hare Krishna. So, Mahaprabhu's questions are always the last. Because they always bring out the most essential points, and after answering or attempting to answer his questions, then we know the discussion is complete. So, thank you. And now, Radha Shyam Prabhu will tell us what to do next.